You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Profile of a victim. Victims of violence and victims of chicanery. People taking self-defense classes and seminars, in addition, of course, to being shown physical self-defense techniques, are also frequently given instruction in ways to avoid violent encounters before they begin. An important part of doing this is to consider how you present yourself to the world. Let me explain. If you are the kind of person who behaves yourself, who actually acts like a truly modern human, who doesn't jump at the chance to beat down someone you don't like, then you're unlikely to have many violent confrontations in your life. If this is the case, the majority of any violent encounters you may have will probably be because somebody else selected you as a target, or more accurately, as a victim, for whatever reason, be it robbery, sexual assault, or sheer meanness and sadism. A number of surveys have been conducted with incarcerated men who could accurately be described as predators. When shown photographs or video of a wide variety of people exhibiting a wide variety of demeanors and behaviors, and then asked to select who they might prefer as a victim, they consistently picked out the individuals who had a specific look, one that most exemplified a victim. Such a look includes not being engaged with your environment, meaning not observing your surroundings. Such stereotypical victims usually move through life with downcast eyes, as if afraid to make eye contact with anyone. Just about as bad as this is moving around with your eyes glued to a smartphone. Victim behavior also includes other body language, language that talks to our ancient genetic heritage as hierarchical social primates, in which it was important to show submissive body language to the members of your group that were above you in status. This body language includes slumped posture so as to appear smaller, small, tentative, non-threatening steps, and an overall look of timidity and submission. These traits are like catnip for the predator. He, and it's usually a he, is not looking for a challenge. Just like predators in the wild, they seek out easy prey. If your entire demeanor screams, "I am a prey animal, a victim," then the predator will be more likely to select you. If, on the other hand, you look alert and confident, you're far less likely to be chosen. Many people, especially many women, have expressed to me that they are nervous about looking alert, as I encourage them to do, worrying that this might be misinterpreted as defiance, and thus anger a potential attacker and goad them into violence. But the opposite is usually the case. An appearance of alertness and confidence, while not a guarantee that you won't be selected as prey, makes it far less likely that you will be. Those of you who are regular listeners to this podcast know that I frequently draw a parallel between the skills needed for physical self-defense and the critical thinking skills necessary for defense against being swindled. Con artists and swindlers are simply another form of predator. Whether you call them confidence men, grifters, swindlers, or scam artists, it's a popular meme to depict them in fiction as lovable rogues who only prey on those who deserve it, often with style, panache, and a wry, knowing smile into the camera. In reality, the majority of these criminals are sociopaths with no conscience, greedily taking advantage of the quirks of human behavior. They profile potential victims just like violent predators do. They have many slang terms for victims, names that illustrate the clear disdain they have for them. Rubes, suckers, marks, and chumps are just some of them. Comedic actor and vaudevillian W.C. Fields regularly portrayed con artists in film in the early 20th century, and in one of them he states a motto that encapsulates the ethics of the swindler. Never give a sucker an even break or smarten up a chump. That eloquently expresses the contempt which these predators hold for the rest of us. What they look for in a victim may be similar in some ways to what the violent predators I discussed earlier look for, but it may also be different in others. They especially seek out the emotionally or intellectually vulnerable. Let's look at a few examples. One form of con artist is the spiritual medium. This is the person who claims that they can help you to communicate, through them and for a generous fee, with loved ones who have passed away. These grief vampires have been around for a very long time, probably since long before written records began about 5,000 years ago. One particularly target-rich environment for spiritual mediums existed in the years during and after the American Civil War. 750,000 soldiers from both sides lost their lives in this huge, consequential conflict. Very few families on either side escaped losing a father, or brother, or son, or husband. There were nowhere near enough spiritual mediums at the beginning of the war to service even a small percentage of these grieving relatives. Through some miracle, vast new hordes, if that is the correct collective noun for grief vampires, vast new hordes of spiritual mediums appeared just in time to take everyone's money. What an amazing coincidence! What incredible timing! The skeptical part of me would guess that similar explosions of the population of these predators have occurred throughout history, right after other depopulating wars. Even today, those who are grieving a recent loss are especially vulnerable to being scammed in any number of ways. Yet another example of how far some of the worst examples of humanity will go to earn a buck. Similar to the grief-stricken are those with loved ones who suffer from severe, perhaps even terminal, illness. Naturally, such people will go to any lengths to find effective treatment for their sick child, spouse, sibling, or parent. Practitioners of alternative medicine know this. While some alt-med practitioners are good people enthralled with bad ideas, there exists a significant fraction of them who, like other predators, care nothing for their patients and are anxious to scam their families for all the cash they can raise. In addition to the grief-stricken and families of the very sick, in other words, the emotionally vulnerable, con artists also seek out the intellectually vulnerable. These include the ignorant, those who lack the education to see through the scam. One subset of the uneducated is immigrants and tourists. When you find yourself in a country where you don't speak the language, or are ignorant of local customs, or both, you are vulnerable to the grifter. The largest entry port for immigrants into the U.S. during the late 19th and early 20th century was New York, specifically Ellis Island. Huge numbers of immigrants, the vast majority of whom spoke little or no English, were processed through Ellis Island before dispersing across the country. To give you an idea of how vulnerable these folks were to con artists, I offer the fact that signs were posted all over Ellis Island in a number of languages, carefully explaining that all bridges in New York were owned by the government. It was necessary to do this because so many predators had fleeced recently arrived immigrants of their life savings by selling them the Brooklyn Bridge, or a similar structure. Americans were quick to laugh at the gullible foreigners, but American tourists abroad are just as likely to be taken for large sums of cash by local grifters. Okay, people ignorant of local laws and customs. Who else would be intellectually vulnerable potential victims? The elderly. We all know that as you age, your cognitive powers decline. Older folks can also be out of touch with current technology and culture. This creates blind spots that con artists can exploit. The elderly can be easier to convince that there is some law, regulation, or building code which they have been unwittingly violating, or that they're in danger of missing out on a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save a lot of money. And the con artist is happy to inform them in every case that he or she is just the person to help. The grief-stricken, relatives of the very sick, the ignorant, and the elderly are just some of the people selected as targets by con artists. These rogues don't sound so lovable in that light, do they? Truth be told, though, we are all potential targets. Developing your critical thinking skills and using them when claims are made to you is the equivalent of having an alert, confident bearing when walking in public. When faced with probing questions, most con artists are likely to emulate the more violent predators when they see someone whose body language displays confidence and awareness, and quietly move on in search of easier prey. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.